artists and philosophers. In fact, first century Athens had many similarities with London today. Of course, it didn't have any of our modern inventions, but in terms of its culture, the Athens of 2,000 years ago and 21st century London had much in common, which is true in religious matters as well. Christianity did not arrive in Athens until around AD 51, but like London today, it contained all sorts of religious beliefs. And there were many who were unsure about what to believe and who wanted to keep their options open, which was illustrated by the altar set up to the unknown God. And maybe this is echoed in London today by those who think, well, I'm not too sure about all this God business, but I'm hoping it's going to work out all right in the end. Now, it was to Athens that Paul came as the first Christian missionary and messenger. He walked around the city. He saw the buildings, the statues, and the idols set up to all kinds of gods. He listened to people talking in the marketplace, and then he joined in. And he attracted such a lot of interest that he was asked to speak to what might be called the city council. And what he said is what we heard in the reading just a few moments ago. And if you want to look it up, the page in the Pew Bibles is page 1113, and it's Acts chapter 17. Paul was speaking to people who were not yet Christians. And so he wants to tell them about the Christian God, the God in whom Christian people believe and trust. Many people in Athens were worshipping a God they did not know. Not too bad for starters, as Paul acknowledges, but it was incomplete. And Paul says to them, I want to tell you about your unknown God so that you may know who he really is. He's got a lot of things to say, and he probably talked for a very long time. So we've only got a summary of his main points. And in these next few minutes, I just want to look at a couple of them with you. And the first big thing that he says is this, that the Christian God is the creator and sustainer of everything that exists. And so Paul is saying that this world, with all its inhabitants like you and me, it's not here by chance. It is here by the will and by the actions of our Creator God, who is the first cause of everything. Doesn't mean there was no Big Bang. Doesn't mean there was no evolution, which still continues today. My wife and I have been down to Down House, south of Bromley, which is the former home of Charles Darwin. And if you've never been there before, I thoroughly recommend it as a great place to visit. You can enjoy a good cup of tea or coffee and some food, as well as looking round the house and the garden. And you will see at Down House how Charles Darwin and countless scientists after him have discovered wonderful things about the processes of creation and natural selection and so on. It's eye-opening, it's very moving to learn of the careful observations of Charles Darwin, not only on his famous voyage on the Beagle, but also in his garden. Day by day, he was out there studying, watching, observing, looking, recording. But there is one thing that Charles Darwin could never learn by observation. And that is the answer to the questions, who and why. You can't learn that by observation. In other words, who, if anyone, started the whole process? Who sustains it? And why has it all happened? And why does it continue? And what's it all for? Paul's answer to that is clear. The creation is here because it was made by someone. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the God who sustains it, who keeps it going. And he does this through many means. He creates new human beings through other human beings, wonderfully illustrated for us this morning by baby Eddie and his parents, Kat and Dave. Yes, God continues with his creative work in many marvelous ways, using parents, farmers, gardeners, countless other people as well. But in the end, or should we say at the beginning, it can all be traced back to him, our creator God, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Now, if this is true, it's surely nonsense for human beings like you and me to worship anything that we ourselves have created. All around the world, people have got a desire to worship, and we'll come back to this in a minute. But sadly, there are many people who've set up idols of stone or wood or money or whatever. An idol doesn't have to be literally something that you fashion with your own hands and to which you bow down and worship. It can be something else that becomes so important here on earth that it's actually a kind of God. And when that happens, it's effectively the worship of something made by man or woman. Now think about this. That must be a dead end if we have been made by the Creator God. You see, if we are worshipping something that we ourselves have made, then logically we are worshipping something that is infinitely less than the God who has created us in the first place. And so in the final analysis, an idol of any description cannot possibly have any lasting value. Let's move to the second main thing that Paul's saying and that I want to highlight in this talk. And it's this, that into the hearts and minds of every human being, God has put a kind of God-shaped hole. Now, the worship of idols is in some ways understandable, because God, as I say, has put that God-shaped hole into every human heart and mind, which is something that Paul is saying to those Athenians. It's illustrated today by statistics which show that no less than 84% of the world's population, note this, 84% of the world's population identify with some religious faith. That is not true in the United Kingdom, which is one of the very few nations on earth in which the percentage of people declaring no religious affiliation is increasing. I was speaking about this last Sunday in St. Peter's Church, and then I went home and read the papers, and I saw some statistics about this. And the latest statistic is that in the United Kingdom, 48.6% of people declare no religious affiliation. Perhaps there are some people amongst that figure here in church this morning. And actually, in that, we are unlike the rest of the world. But the worldwide statistics confirm the truth of Paul's words that our Creator has put us here on earth with a God-shaped hole in our lives. Quite possible to ignore this, to suppress it, to push it out of the way in one way or another. But the words of St. Augustine, a famous Christian, are supported by human experience down the centuries. You, God, have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. And so God's purpose in creating every one of us here in church this morning, everybody else here on earth, is that we will come to know him, our Creator, from whom everything came. And we will come to know him and be with him, the God of eternal love, both in this life and also in the life to come. That is the purpose of why we are here on earth. That's what we're here for. And to put it another way, we are created and sustained by the God of love so that we may come to live in his love both now and forever. And that's why Paul said to those Athenians, as we heard, that God made us so that we might seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, because he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. We are truly his offspring, and Paul commended one of the Athenian poets for that insight. There's a lot more to be said, but I'm not going to go on. Paul had a lot more to say. He would have talked for an hour. I don't know how long he would have talked. I'm not talking for anything like that time. He had a huge amount more to say, and he wanted to talk about Jesus and how it is that we can come to know this God, and that's all to do with Jesus and his death and resurrection. That is for other sermons on other Sunday mornings and for other opportunities for Christian learning for you and for me. But there's just one more thing, or just a couple of things more to say. I wonder if you notice that at the end of his sermon, there were several different reactions. Some people sneered. They laughed at him. What nonsense he's talking. Some people were immediately convinced and they wanted to become Christians. Other people said, "This sounds interesting. We want to know more about this. Come back and talk more to us." And that reminds me of the first episode of a new television series. You've watched the first episode of a new television series, haven't you, many a time, and you've said to yourself, "This looks a bit boring. I don't think I'll bother about the other episodes. I'll switch off my timer recorder and delete the whole thing. Doesn't seem really to be going anywhere." Other times you will say, "Wow, this looks like a really good series. I'm going to learn more, I'm going to watch more, I'm going to follow it right through to its conclusion." I hope and pray that amongst us here in church this morning, there are some people who are thinking like that about God, our Creator. We've got a lot of visitors here this morning. Maybe you've not heard a sermon for quite a long time. Maybe you've not heard anybody talk about the person who created you in the first place, put you here on earth, wants you to know him and love him. I hope you will go away saying, "This actually is important. I need to know more about this." And I hope you'll go away and follow that through. Because if it is indeed God who made us in the first place, God who put us here to know him and to love him, then these things are surely, in the last analysis, the most important things that we can ever address in our lives. If it's not true, forget it. But if it is true, go for it. Follow it through as far as you possibly can. Because, after all, to know our Creator God, to be with him, and to live in his eternal love, can there possibly be anything more important? And can there possibly be anything better than this? Thank you for listening.